In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the first Sunday of Kiek, and in it we read the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verse 1 through 25. And it's quite a long Gospel, 25 verses. I'm just going to focus, God willing, just on one verse, which says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." Who are they speaking about here? Zacharias and Elizabeth. Okay, let me read it again. "And they were both righteous before the Lord, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." So we have three things here that we're going to quickly contemplate on. The first is that they were righteous. Being righteous. This idea of righteousness is what? Can anybody tell me what righteousness means? Who knows what righteousness means? Righteous means, or righteousness means, to do what is right. Simple as that. To do what is right. Anything that we do, let it be done correctly. And even in the psalm, okay, if you pay attention with me, in the psalms, it says that the righteous man shall flourish like a palm tree. And it's actually a very nice tradition in the church, maybe in the warmer climate, that every time we build a church, we have certain specifications for the... We have certain specifications for the church, the domes and so forth, and the bell towers. But there's also something that a lot of people overlook. It's that we usually plant a very tall palm tree in the front of the church, remembering this psalm that says that the righteous shall flourish like the palm. As you know, the palm is very straight and it's very tall. So it's just a nice tradition that we have that keeps the tradition of the church. To be righteous, Habayib, my beloved, means to belong to God. To be righteous means to do what? To belong to God. Where does it say this? In 1 John 3:10, it says, "Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God." Could you imagine that? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So, if I practice righteousness, if I am righteous, then I belong to God. If I do the wrong things, knowingly, willingly, and consistently, then I don't belong to God. Simple as that, according to this verse in the Epistle of St. John. So, the first point, the idea of being righteous, doing what's right. The second thing that Elizabeth and Zechariah did was that they walked in the commandments and ordinances of God. The commandments of God. "Your word is a light unto my feet, and a lamp unto my path." The commandments are sure. They give us guidance. They help us have peace in our life. How many people you know don't walk in any commandments of the Lord and do whatever in the world that they want? Maybe I'm one of them. Maybe you're one of them. Do you have peace? The commandments of the Lord gives us peace if we follow them. Number two, the commandments of the Lord prove to God that we what? Love Him. Remember what the Lord said. This should ring in our minds all the time. "If you love me, keep my commands." If you love me. So if I ask you right now, who loves God? We're all going to raise one hand, maybe both hands. Right? كلنا هنعمل كده. We're all going to raise our hands and say, yes, I love God. The way He measures love is by what? Obedience to His commandments. So, I must obey the commandments of the Lord. This is what Zacharias and Elizabeth did. The third point, that they were blameless. Blameless. Blameless means what? Without blame. God couldn't point His finger and say, Zacharias, you have a sin. Elizabeth, you have a sin. He couldn't say that. He couldn't do that. It said they were blameless. They had no blame in the eyes of God. Isn't that an amazing thing? Who of us is blameless in the eyes of God? Who of us can say, who of us can think this? But of course, we still have hope. We have great hope. Why? Because we have something called repentance. We have something called repentance. The change of our hearts and our minds and our actions and our thoughts. You see, repentance is the way to blamelessness. The repentance is the way to righteousness. Repentance is the way to walking in the commandments and ordinances of God. How do I repent, Abuna? What should I do? The first point, sit with yourself. Don't deceive yourself. You're young. You think you're young. You have many years in front of you. Even if you're an older person, you think you still have a long time before you get to your 70s. If you're in your 70s, you think you're going to get to your 80s. God give you all long life. But the Lord said, I will come as a thief in the night. We have to be prepared. So we have to sit with ourselves. Just like the prodigal son. What caused him? Think with me. Luke chapter 15. What caused him to go back to his father? Yes, he saw the pigs and their food, but that's not what caused him. What caused him? He sat with himself. Ad ma nafsu, fakkar, hayatu. What is his life doing? What is he doing in his life? Okay? And a lot of times we may feel that we're good, right? And actually everybody owes me something. When actually we owe God and we owe others everything. So the first point to walk blameless before God is to sit with yourself. Think about your life. What you're doing. Where is it going? The second thing, once you've sat with yourself and you're honest with yourself, then you're going to come up with a few points that need to be changed. So what's the next step in repentance? I have to stop what I'm doing. That's evil. After I realize what is wrong, then I have to stop what I'm doing. The next step, and this of course is a ladder. The fathers of the church call it the ladder of repentance. Okay? And they give 4 points on how to perfect repentance. And like we said, the first point was to actually sit with yourself. Know what you're doing is wrong. Mom and Dad tell me all the time. My friends tell me all the time. I hear it all the time. But I consistently, continuously, and purposefully ignore the voice of God. How is that? How can we continue to do that, my brethren? How? How can we continue to refuse the words of God? How can we continue? Now look at what Saint Mary, the second that the angel came and spoke with her at the end of next week's gospel, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Could you believe that? Let it be done to me according to your word. Who of us says that? Huh? Who of us says, let it be done to me, O Lord, according to your word. No. But Acts, then I don't even want to hear God's word. Bible, I don't read it. church, forget it. They don't want that. Prayer, that's something that little kids do. Meetings and Sunday school and youth meeting and all that stuff, no, I don't do that either. I'm on my own. The fathers of the church say, a person who has no spiritual father is like a leaf. A leaf. A leaf that falls from a tree, crumples up, dries up, and dies. So, in repentance, this is, of course, we're talking about the perfect repentance, which we have to strive for, all of us. First, sit with myself. Second, stop what I'm doing. Third, stop desiring what I have done. And then the fourth and final step in the perfect repentance is to hate the sin that I do. So as you can see, this is why His Holiness Pope Shenouda wrote a book called The Life of Repentance and Purity. The Life of Repentance and Purity. It takes a long time, my brethren. It takes a long time to perfect it. But at least, let's do the first two. Let's do the first two steps. Sit with yourself daily. Don't ignore the words of God which come to you through the mouth of your father, through the mouth of your mother, through the mouth of your spouse, through the mouth of the deacon reading the gospel, through the liturgy, through the verse you get in your email, through the word of God that we should be reading. Don't ignore it. And so that we may all become righteous in the eyes of the Lord, walking in His commandments, and blameless in everything that we do. May the Lord give us this gift that He did to Elizabeth, Zechariah, and Elizabeth, and glory be to God forever.